read with us. We're going to read out of the book of Daniel, chapter number 3. We'll begin reading with verse number 10. Got a good group of babies this morning. Book of Daniel, chapter number 3. We're going to begin reading with verse number 10. Very familiar portion of scripture. One of those Bible stories that's been preached on since the beginning of time, really. And I'm not going to preach anything you haven't heard before this morning. Just what God has burned and etched in my heart for this particular service. Daniel 3 and verse number 10. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. Whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound, into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. And he answered and said, Lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Thank God. I want to preach to you on this thought this morning, faith in a furnace. Faith in a furnace. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We ask you today that you, Lord, speak to our heart, granting us, God, ears to hear and a heart to receive the word of God that Paul said unto Timothy was able to make us wise unto salvation. I ask you, O God, anoint me, quicken me to preach. Touch this feeble voice, O God. Help it to endure the preaching of the word this morning. I pray you'll meet us in the altar today, O God. You know every need. You've ordained the service knowing who would be here beforehand. Save the lost. Heal the sick. Yes. Deliver the bound and the oppressed. Baptize every believer in the power of the Holy Ghost. God, we'll be careful to praise you and give you thanks for it. We ask it and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Yes. Phil Dimension, good to see you. Brother Philip, Sister Vicki, back with us this morning. Amen. The first thing I want us to look at this morning is God dealt with my heart on this old familiar text. As I was reading, I've been reading a lot about faith and asking God that he would help my faith grow and increase. And in studying and then also in praying and asking God to grant me faith in order to believe in the face of possibilities, God spoke to my heart about faith, and he said faith was given, but faith is also given that it might be tested. Yeah. And it's only when faith is tested that God is seen, that God is glorified, and that faith is of any worth or value at all. Our faith is valuable to us when we need God. That's when our faith is put to the test. Out of some sort of perceived need, God arises, yes, in response to our faith. And we see that our faith is not only real, but it's well-founded by being placed in a God who cannot lie and who will not fail. Amen. That's right. So the first thing that God spoke to me about when we study these three young men, I like to call them Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, because that was their God-given name. Right. But the world, Babylon, had changed their names to the names of their gods, and they were calling them, and in our text, they were calling them by the Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When their faith in God was put to the test, they were commanded by the king, now look, I'm going to give you one more chance. I've heard that you're trying to be allegiant to your God. You ain't in Israel no more. You're not in Jerusalem. You're in Babylon. You're in the king's capital city of Persia, which was Babylon. I rule here. I'm God here. And if you don't bow down to my image, if you don't start worshiping me, if you don't get with the program, then I'm going to do to you what I've done to everybody else and their gods. I'm going to destroy you. He says, matter of fact, I made a commandment that whoever don't worship my image is going to be cast alive into a burning fiery furnace. And there ain't many much worse ways to die than to be cast alive into a fire. And you can rest assured those boys didn't want to be burned no more than you do. And you can rest assured their insides felt just like yours would if somebody was threatening to kill you and you were faced with, man, this is life or death. This is live or die. And they said, we're not careful on how we're going to answer. Meaning, we're not anxious, we're not worried, we're not afraid about what we're going to do. Not that they didn't feel any anxiety or worry or fear about getting burned or about the reality of dying, because most commentary believe that Daniel and these three boys were teenagers when they were carried captive. And if they weren't teenagers, they were very young men, because the Bible calls them three Hebrew boys. And it didn't mean that they had no worry or fear or anxiety about how it was going to feel to be burned up alive, or that they could die on this day for being faithful to God. They had no worry, fear, or anxiety about what they were going to do. Right. We're allegiant to one God,
that's right.
Our God,
yeah, that's right.
Jehovah.
Amen.
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 And we know exactly what we're going to do and how we're going to answer. Of that, we're very sure and resolute. We want to answer your question when you said, who is that God that'll deliver you out of my hand? And they said, be it known unto you, O king, we won't be serving any false gods. Not today, not ever. We won't be bowing down to your image. Not today and not ever.
Amen.
And God, king, we want you to know that our God is able to deliver us out of the fiery furnace and out of your hand. But if he don't, we won't be bound.
Amen.
God spoke to my heart. Here is where faith in a furnace is really brought out to light. Notice their words in verse 17. They said, our God whom we serve is able to deliver.
Yeah.
Our God whom we serve is able to deliver. So the first thing God spoke to my heart is our God is able.
Yeah.
Man, I read the words of those young men again. Our God is able. What a statement. I looked up Abel in the Hebrew, and it's nothing, you know, astounding, nothing leaped out at me. But the word Abel means having strength or power sufficient.
Amen.
Our God is not disabled.
Yeah.
It's what it means. He don't have a special spot in the parking lot, meaning that he is disabled. Our God is not disabled.
Right.
Our God is not crippled. Our God is not handicapped.
Amen.
Our God does not lack strength or power. Our God is an able God.
Yes.
Meaning what you have asked, can he do? He is able to do it.
Yes, sir.
It's within his power. It's with being able mean it is within your ability or capability to do it. Do you need a wheelchair? Do you need a cane? Do you need a crutch? Or are you able or are you disabled? If you're disabled, we'll help you. Our God is not disabled.
That's right.
Our God is fully capable of doing what you ask, can he do?
Yes.
Who is this God? Well, Jehovah is his name.
Amen.
Yahweh in the Hebrew is his name. We know him better today as Jesus.
Right.
Hallelujah. Our God whom we serve is able. That's a mouthful. I want you to know that whatever you face this morning, here's where faith is put to the test. Our God who we serve is able. Well, you don't know what I face. Don't matter what you face. Whatever you face, he's able. Amen. The Bible said in the New Testament, unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or even think. Unto him be glory.
Yes.
Amen. If you can ask it, if you can think it, God said, I'm able to do it. Lord, could you translate me from one place to another? I'm not talking about Star Trek or beam me up, old Scotty. Could you translate me from one place to the next? Well, yes, he could. Before there was Star Trek, Captain Kirk or Scotty, the Lord was translating people. Enoch was translated, and he was not, for God took him. Do you know Philip the evangelist, after he baptized the Ethiopian eunuch, the Spirit of the Lord came and took him away and set him into another city. Do you know that when the disciples were gathered together after the resurrection of Christ, and they didn't know what to do for fear of what was going to happen, and Thomas said, you said you've seen him, but except I see the print of the nail in his hand, I thrust my hand into his side, I won't believe. And Jesus appeared in their midst and said, here I am, Thomas. Take your hand, put it in the print where they drove the nail. Take your arm and thrust it in my side and be not faithless, but believing. I mean, if you can think it, if you can could God raise somebody from the dead? Yes, he can. He has before, and he will again. I won't ever forget Brother Clendenin saying, I went and preached a meeting somewhere and said a woman, a little widow woman, come up. She had a son that was taking care of her, and he died. He died a young man. She didn't have nobody. She missed him more than words could say. She came up and she said, I heard you preach tonight. My faith was so inspired to believe God for the impossible. She said, I want you to pray for my son that God would bring him home to me. I believe that God can do anything. I want you to pray that God bring my boy back home. He said, I thought her boy was on a trip. I thought her boy might be in the hospital. I thought her boy might be, you know, in jail. I thought her boy might be a prodigal and gone. She's praying. He said, oh, yes, ma'am. I'll pray with you. God can do it. Do you know where he is? She said, oh, yeah. She said, I go visit him in the cemetery all the time. I grieve over him. I go to his grave and put flowers there. Grieve over him. Tell God how bad I need him. He said, he's dead? She said, yeah. He's been dead for a few years now. He said, I thought, this woman, she don't understand how things work. He said, I got ready to explain to her that, lady, God just ain't going to do that. He said, when I got ready to open my mouth to explain to her, he said, I heard the Holy Ghost say, do you think I can't do it? Do you think I can't do it? Then you're going to have a hard time preaching about the rapture. That saints that have been in the grave a long time that the grave's going to open up and give up that body. Amen. They're going to be quickened by the Spirit of God. Their bodies raised to immortal. He said, nobody thought Lazarus, who was 4 days dead and stinking, could be raised either. I mean, blood coagulated. You go 2 minutes with no oxygen to the brain and may never be right again if somebody resuscitates you. I mean, permanent brain damage. This man's been dead 4 days. Blood coagulated, muscles atrophied, rigor mortis set in, body bloated and swollen with all kind of putrefying gases. He's wrapped up. He's been anointed with all kind of perfume to cover the stink. She said, we wrapped him. We anointed him. But after 4 days, there ain't no perfume to cover up the stench of what's going to come out of that tomb if we remove that stone. He said, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, that thou wouldest see the glory of God. Roll away the stone. Lazarus, come on out of there. Loose him and let him go. You don't read of any permanent brain damage. You don't read of any disability whatsoever. No, they were astounded. And the Bible said many believed on Christ because of the testimony of Lazarus. He said, all this is going through my mind. And he said, do you believe that I can't do it? He said, I looked at that old woman and said, lady, I know that that if we believe and that if God desires to do so, he can give your boy back to you. He said, all we can do is know that our God is able and that if he will, that he can do it. I prayed for her. He said, then the truth came to me what faith really is. Our God is able, but if not, I'll die believing. Our God is able to do it, but if he don't, I'll die believing that he can. That's what faith is. Amen. Our God whom we serve is able to deliver. How could three young men make such a statement in the face of such a trial? And that's exactly what this was, a trial. Now, furnace, faith in a furnace demands faith in order to survive. There are just some situations you can go to the doctor. Am I right? There are some situations you can believe God to heal you of a headache, but if you don't, you can take a Tylenol. That, you know, you get the stomach virus. There's just some things you can believe God for, but if you don't, you can take something for your stomach. Okay, I go on and on. But a fiery furnace, a fiery trial will demand faith if you're going to survive. There ain't but one way through this. Ain't but one way you're going to survive this. You are going to have to believe God. Woo! Hallelujah. Then I don't like fiery trials. I don't particularly say, God, now if you're looking for somebody to send a fiery trial to, put my name. Can I be first on the list to sign up? I ain't shaking every bush. Out there saying, Lord, is there a devil in this bush? Let him come on. I'm not saying that. I don't think normal people walk and function or even think like that. We enjoy good times. We enjoy seasons of peace and tranquility. Times where we can take our breath and take it easy. But I want to tell you, as a child of God, God needs, you need your faith to grow. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That was the prayer of the apostle, but really that's God's prayer over your life. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You have a child, you want your child to grow. I know we wish they could stay babies forever, but if they do, we would kind of freak out over it. My baby's not growing. Are they going to stay 10 pounds for the rest of their life? Am I going to have to change diapers forever? Are they never going to talk and be able to communicate? If so, something's bad wrong. No, we want our children to grow. We want their minds to develop, their intelligence to increase, their capabilities to increase. And we're God's children. He wants us to grow. He wants our faith to grow. And God knows every once in a while, in order for me to increase your faith, in order for me to put your faith to the test and me get the glory, and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that not only I can, but I will, if you'll believe. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. A fiery trial demands faith in order to survive. You've gone as far as you can go. When you've reached a fiery trial, God said the only way through this, the only way you're coming out alive, is you're going to have to believe me. That ain't such a bad place to be, I'm telling you. Every trial demands faith. But a fiery trial is life or death. 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. The Amplified reads, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal which is taking place to test you. That is to test the quality of your faith.
Yes, amen.
Man, that says a mouthful, don't it? To test the quality of your faith as though some strange or unusual thing were happening to you. He said in the next verse, but rejoice inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. When will his glory be revealed? At the testing of your faith. At the trial of your faith. When you don't burn, his glory gets revealed. When your hair ain't singed, his glory is revealed. When your outfit don't smell like smoke, his glory is revealed. When the heat's taken out of the flame, his glory is revealed. And the king looked in there and said, how are these three men not dead? We don't know. I know how. There's an fourth man in there with them, and he looks like Jesus. He looks like the Son of God. That is the glory of God revealed through your faith in your trial. God asked me several weeks ago, you get inspired when you read about Joseph, don't you? I said, terribly inspired. You get inspired when you read about the three Hebrew boys, about Daniel in the lion's den, about Moses parting the Red Sea, about, Lazarus coming out of the grave. You get inspired by all of that and all of those situations. I brought men through trials and I got the glory. And the Lord said, how about letting me get a little glory out of your life? How about me getting glory out of Sullivan? Can I walk you through the flame? Can I throw you in a pit? Can I cast you in a dungeon? Can I put you in a lion's den? Can I throw you in a tomb and say, and let people say, he's dead. The whole matter stinks. He ain't never coming out. Can I get glory out of your life? That's what a fiery trial is.
Yes, Lord.
And ultimately, if you have faith, then our answer should be, yeah. Yeah. I want you to get the glory. Isn't that what he's saying? Verse 13, rejoice inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. You get sick. You got a tumor. The doctor says you're going to die. Nobody wants to hear that. But when God heals you because you had faith, you raise your hand up and say, glory to God. He is has been, always will be a healer. And if it took him healing me for you to know it, glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He went on to say in verse number 6, without faith, it is impossible to please. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is substance. Faith is evidence. Faith says that God is. Faith says that God will reward them that believe him and trust in him and seek him. Romans 10:17 tells us how and where faith comes from. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do you know that what I'm preaching this morning, that God is preaching from the text, from the scripture, into your hearing so that you might believe, in, and in believing that you might be saved. That's what the gospel is. Go everywhere. Go into all the world and preach the gospel.
Yes.
He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved.
Yes. Yes.
Baptism is the testimony that you did believe. We just had a baptism service 2 weeks ago. Nobody got saved in the tank.
That's right.
The baptism was telling everybody that I believe the gospel. I am saved.
Yes.
And the baptism service was to let everybody know that I died with him and I'm raised with him in the newness of life. That's what faith is, saving faith. How do these boys have such faith in God while facing a fiery trial? I'll tell you how. They heard somebody has taught those young boys from an early age who God is and that God is able. And when they heard it, they believed it.
Right.
Sister Paige is teaching our little one something this morning out of the scripture about God.
Yes.
And do you know, children, Jesus said, except ye become as a little child and be converted, you can't have no part in my kingdom.
Right.
A child's heart is so simple and so innocent is that when you teach them that Jesus walked on water, their little minds can't help but wrap around it and say, okay, Jesus walked on water. They don't know enough about science and physics and all that other stuff to know what an impossibility that is. But they believe that if you teach them Jesus walked on water, he walked on water. And if Jesus got out of the grave after 3 days, he got out of the grave. And that if he ever lives to make intercession for us, he's alive right now. He said, you need to be like that little child. Faith is that when you hear the word preached, I'm dumb enough to believe it. I'm simple-minded enough to believe that God can't lie and that he won't fail. I'll never forget Brother Glenn, not long after he got saved, he was at Vulcan. He was testifying, witnessing to men there, trying to get them to believe. And one guy said, well, I read the Bible one time, and I got to that part about a snake talking to a woman in the garden. He said, I just closed it back up and said, this is fairy tale. Another one told him, he said, man, when I read the part, every animal on earth, two by two, walked into a boat big enough to save them all, and that, you know, all that stuff, he said, he asked Glenn, you really believe that? Glenn said, it's the first time I ever thought about it. He said, I always believe that. I always believe that. Somebody preached that, that's what the Bible said, and that's the way it was. I never really questioned that.
That's right.
He said, but I was talking to men who questioned everything. And the question really is, do you believe this book or don't you? That's what a trial is. That's what a test is. Either God's a liar or he's the truth.
Amen.
Either the Bible is right or it's wrong. And every trial in your life is to prove this book to be the truth.
Yes.
You are a living epistle known and read of all men. They watch you at work. They see you at school. They're watching you in the family setting. They see you at Walmart or at the gas station or in the community. Your life tells the story. Either God's real or he ain't. How do they have such faith in the midst of a fiery trial? Because they've heard. And when they heard, they believed. And that is faith. May God grant you faith this morning to believe. Faith says, they that come to God must first believe that he is. Number one, to believe that God is. And if you believe that he is, then it becomes possible thereafter to believe that if God is, if God is real, I believe that he is, so now I believe that God is able. How many of you believe that there is a God, then you have to believe he's able. What is there that God can't do? I believe that he's able because he created everything that is from nothing at all. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Hebrews 11 and 2 says, by faith we understand that the world was framed by the word of God. There was nothing, and God said, let there be, and then it became something. God didn't need dark matter. God didn't need molecules. And God didn't need anything borrowed. There was nothing that was, and God took nothing that was, and God said, let there be, and there was. Protons, neutrons, molecules, atoms, electrons, all that stuff, dark matter, you name it, whatever it is that was out there, it wasn't out there until God said, let there be. Everything that a scientist studies, everything that a biologist studies, it's there because God said, let there be. In the beginning, God created everything that is. And if those three boys believe that, and it's obvious they did, when the king says, who is this God that can deliver you out of my hand? They have time to teach a Sunday school lesson, would have told him, can God who created fire take the heat out of the fire that he created? The answer, O king, is yes, he can. Our God is able. Can the God that caused every beast two by two to board a ship prior to the great flood to preserve them alive save us from your hand today, O king? Oh, yes, he can. Our God is able. Can the God who called Abraham out of Ur the Chaldeans and gave he and his wife a son in their old age, he at 100 and her at 90 years old, can that God deliver us? Why, yes, he can, O king. Our God is able. Can the God who translated Enoch while living deliver us? Yes, he can. He is able. Can the God who delivered Moses from death in the Nile and that raised him right up in Pharaoh's house and used him to deliver God's people from Egypt. Can that God deliver us from this fire here today, O king? Yes, he can. He is able. Can the God who parted the Red Sea, can he tame the heat of this flame? Can that God do it? Yes, he can, O king. He is able. Can he that rained manna in the desert for 40 years and claimed water out of a rock, can that God save us, O king? Yes, he can. He is able. Can he that fell the walls of Nineveh save us here today in Babylon? Yes, he can, O King. He is able. Can he that toppled the temple of the Philistines through a blind judge named Samson, can that God deliver three feeble-bodied boys from the flame of this furnace? Yes, he can, O King, he is able. Can he that rained fire from heaven on Sodom and Gomorrah and spared Lot, can he spare us from the same fire? Yes, he can, O King, because he is able. Can he that caused it not to rain for 3.5 years at the words of Elijah the prophet, can he spare us today? Can he spare us here? Yes. Can he spare us now? Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. He is able. Hey, hallelujah to God. Our God is able to deliver us.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. I want to tell you, that says about all you need to know this morning.
Hallelujah.
Our God is able.
Yes.
I want to tell you, here's the other half of faith. If he don't, I'll die believing that he can. Hallelujah. Because you know, some people die in the faith, having not received the promise. Amen. Of whom the world was not worthy. Thank God. You ever sit by the bedside of a dying loved one, a saint of God, the time that God didn't heal them, and they didn't understand why, many times, more times than I can count. I want to tell you, I asked the Lord one time, I'll tell you when I asked him, Brother Harold Mobley, one of the most godly men I know, faithful man, kind, precious, tender-hearted. He loved God and he loved me. He went in the hospital, some type of fungus or something growing in one of his lungs. And they had treated him. He kept getting sicker and sicker. And they said, you can live with one lung. We're going to take that one lung out. And he went in for that surgery. And before they took him back for surgery, he looked at me, eyes filled with tears. And he said, Brother Eddie, he said, I know God's able. He could have healed me already if he had wanted to. He said, but I don't think I'm going to come out of this surgery. I think God's fixing to take me home. He said, I'm ready. If he does, I want you to know, you was a good pastor to me and I love you. I said, Brother Harold, you're going to be fine, brother. God's going to help. He said, Brother Eddie, I believe that. I believe all that. But I want you to know, if he don't, I love God.
Yeah.
And I'm ready to go home. He come through that surgery. We went back to see him in recovery. Something was going wrong. All his vitals were going the wrong way. And they called the family in and said, we don't know what's happening. His body ain't accepting the fact that we took that lung out. His organs are shutting down. And we're doing everything we can do to stop it. But if y'all want to see him, if y'all want to talk to him, probably better do it now. We all went in there and they gathered around his bed, all weeping and crying and telling him, you know, Daddy, we're praying. And Daddy, you can make it. And Daddy, be strong. And Daddy, it's going to be all right. I remembered what he said to me before they took him to surgery. And I looked at him. He had a breathing tube in. He couldn't talk. And I looked at him and I said, Brother Mobley, I remember what you told me. And I said, I still believe he's able, but if not, he looked at me, Brother Holman, and a tear rolled down his face, that tube coming out of his mouth, and he said, you know what he was saying? I love you, Pastor. And I tapped my heart, And I said, "And I love you, Harold Wobbly." It wasn't but an hour or so, he was gone. Sister Linda, bad diabetic, always had been. Suffered with it all the time. Suffered with heart disease because of it, and had open heart surgery, walking in a cane. Bless her heart. A lot of times she tried to drive herself to church, couldn't see good. She'd bump into stuff with her car. Really didn't need to be driving, but she loved God. She made her way in one night with a walker that drove herself. I thought she was going to drive right into the front of the church. It's kind of scary. She'd come on in. I got up on this platform. It tear me up because she was going downhill. I remember sitting right on this platform and I asked God, "Lord, why don't you heal her? She's a widow. She loves you enough. She's coming to church by herself, driving herself, walking in here behind a walker. Why don't you heal her? You're able to heal her." And the Lord said, "Because some people, I get greater glory. Because if I don't heal her, she's still willing to drive herself. If I don't heal her, she's willing to walk behind a walker and come in by herself and lift up feeble hands and raise a feeble voice with a little feeble body and say, 'If you don't, I love you.'" Do you know what I mean? That's just as great a faith as the faith that gets you healed. That's as great a faith as the faith that pulls you out of the fire. What if God they'd have thrown them boys in the fire and they'd have sizzled like bacon, brother homie. They're gone. I told them boys, if they didn't bow, I was going to kill them. You know what God would have said? "Well done, good and faithful servant. You lived well and you died well." Do you know how every one of the apostles died except for John the Beloved? They all died a martyr's death. They lived well and they died well. It don't matter how many times I've been healed throughout the course of my life. It don't matter what I've overcome. One day will be my last day. I've lived well. I want to die well. Faith believes our God can, our God is able, but faith also says, if it don't, I love him anyway. And I won't be changing my mind based on any certain outcome. I hear people say, "God, if you will do this, then I'll do this." That ain't faith. Faith says, "You've done your part. My part is to love you for what you've done. My part is to serve you unconditionally. If you do that, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to give you the glory. If you don't, I'm going to love you anyhow." Thank you, Lord. You're able, stand with me. Thank you, Lord. We praise you today, Lord. As the God who is able. The God that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I can ask or even think. To him be all glory this morning. God, we come in faith, believing, trusting, knowing, declaring that you, Lord, are able to deliver us today. God, that's what we're asking for. Deliverance from this trial. Deliverance from this sickness. Deliverance from this difficulty. Deliverance, oh God, from this battle that I face. Deliverance, Lord, from this messenger of Satan that's sent to buffet me. Deliverance, oh God, from whatever's been going wrong, from whatever's been trying to hinder our faith. We pray this morning for deliverance, and we believe that you're able to do that. But God, I want to be careful to state that if you don't, I'm going to serve you. If you don't, then I love you. And I want the whole world to know that I'll die believing that you're able. I'll die believing and trusting that you can. You're a Savior. If I don't see anybody else get saved, you're a healer. If my healing don't come, you're a deliverer. If you say to me what you said to the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient, I'll praise you in the midst of my storm. God, I pray, give us faith. The kind of faith that is only revealed in a furnace. Give us that kind of faith to believe you in spite of any and every impossibility. To believe you in spite of any possible outcome. Give us that kind of faith. Faith that's given in a furnace. Hallelujah. If that's your prayer this morning, I know there's more than one person in here this morning that's facing impossibilities, facing fiery trials. God said you're facing that so that my glory can be revealed. But what you need right now is faith. Faith in the furnace that you'll be able to praise me no matter what. If that's your prayer, why don't you meet me in this altar this morning? Let's believe God. Hallelujah.